the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Now, Conor Monaghan says, it's all right poking fun at Scotland in the World Cup, but they are there after all. Good point. You'd think being a Monaghan man, though, you'd be in good form today, given the victory over Roscommon, the comprehensive victory in round 2B, which gives Monaghan a home game against Leinster champions Westmeath in round 3 of the All-Ireland next Sunday. So let's talk about the games that we can look forward to next weekend. Will O'Callaghan has stayed with us. Colm Keyes is with us, GA correspondent of the Irish Independent. Let's start though with undoubtedly, and I was saying this to Stephen Doyle earlier, good luck with talking first about Dublin and Donegal. The game of the weekend next weekend has to be the reigning champions Kerry against the previous year's champions Armagh, particularly after what happened in the quarterfinal last year. This is what a draw this is.
Ah, it's incredible. And I was watching, I didn't listen to the radio version of the draw. I watched the RT News Channel version where there was a camera there, and it was Jarlett Burns, the GAA president, who I'm sure had the only one instruction as a former Armagh man himself, not to draw his team against the All-Ireland champions Kerry and to have that meeting of the last two. He drew them out, and then it was a home advantage draw that took place after the four ties had been drawn, and he drew Killarney for Kerry as well. So far from ideal, but the dream, I think the dream draw for the neutrals, this one. It means that one of the big guns, one of the potential All-Ireland finalists will be gone. We know that the Connacht champions Roscommon are already out of the championship, and we could see some other provincial champions fall out of contention this weekend. So the picture for the All-Ireland championship might look very different to what we're thinking right now by the end of play on Sunday.
And Colm, it will only be available to view on GAA Plus, so we know what controversy that's going to cause.
Yes, Matt, we're back here again. We were talking about this just a matter of weeks ago when Kerry and Donegal were drawn. And of course, that game went on to GAA Plus. This is too. Obviously, GAA Plus for this particular round, round 3, had the first two choices. Interestingly, the Dublin-Donegal game is on RTE. But yes, for the second
very
time...
Very generous of the GAA to allow that not to be on GAA.
Well, I think it probably, Matt, it probably just diffused any further controversy had you put both games on. So this is probably the lesser of two evils, perhaps, to put one of those games, particularly Dublin-Donegal. When I was looking at one stage that game was going to be played in Parnell Park, and that would have obviously created a real capacity issue had Ger Brennan's wishes been acceded to by the Dublin County Board, really, because...
Sorry, whoever thought we would have got to the stage where Dublin didn't want to play in Croke Park and wanted the home advantage of Parnell Park?
Just, Matt, never. It's just almost beyond belief that the manager of Dublin would say we would prefer to go. Now, obviously, it's a crowd issue. There was 16,000 at the Dublin Louth game in the first round, which was a really, really low crowd. And I was there that day and I would have felt there was more from Louth than Dublin there. Better Dublin crowd in Cavan yesterday for their round 2B fixture. And I suppose they'll hope that this triggers them now to be playing Jim McGuinness's Donegal and memories back to the 2014 All-Ireland semi-final. But it shows where the Dublin support and maybe the Dublin form is that their manager was thinking we might be better in an atmosphere like Parnell Park where the capacity is 8,500. And they would have seen the hurlers and the atmosphere generated and the noise around the place when they beat Kilkenny a few weeks back in the Leinster hurling round robin. And they say, maybe we should get a taste of this to try and fire us up. But obviously, what Ger said hasn't followed through. And it suggests that maybe there's a disconnect there. Had he not spoken to the Dublin administrators, Dublin County Board, about this beforehand, obviously they came to some reasonable conclusion. Having said that, when you look at Louth and Down and Inneskeen, a venue with under 6,000, I would maintain Louth and Armagh would have easily drawn 40,000 to Croke Park, maybe upwards on that. But Louth decided, no, our home venue, our best chance is Parnell Park. I presume that would have been the wishes of their management too. Dublin have done the opposite of that. It was their choice. And I think had they pushed through, they would have got Parnell Park.
Okay. Of course, the other interesting thing about it, Will, is that the Dublin-Donegal game, and we're focusing, I suppose, this evening, I suppose, a little bit on the arrangements for next weekend. On Friday's Last Word in Sport, we'll do full previews of the fixtures. But a 1:15 is the most unusual time I think I've ever seen a championship game been picked for of this magnitude. How much of that was down possibly to the fact that we have an All-Ireland quarterfinal in the hurling between Cork and Offaly down in Thurles, isn't
it? Yeah, it's exactly the reason. So RT were locked into under the rights agreement that they show both of the Tailteann Cup semi-finals. So from a long way out, they had decided they were going to do those as a doubleheader on Saturday, and they'd already locked in that they do the All-Ireland hurling quarterfinals as part of their deal as well. So 7 o'clock Saturday evening, you've got Clare against Dublin, and then they had Offaly versus Cork half three on Sunday. Those had already been arranged in the week before. So the slot that RT had left for pick number three, as Colin mentioned, was when they got that football game, was going to be a lunchtime throw-in on the Sunday. So it puts a lot of pressure on Croke Park this weekend, because they've got the Bulls against Leinster on Friday night. They'll have to get the lines and everything cleaned away and the post changed in time for the doubleheader in the Tailteann Cup on Saturday afternoon. And then they'll be back pretty quickly for lunchtime on Sunday.
It is the most efficient organisation, Croke Park, isn't it, for doing things? You wouldn't have any doubts about them.
No, and all credit to Páirc Uí Chaoimh the week before, when the Women's World Cup qualifier finished on Friday, they had everything in perfect condition for the Munster final, despite the bad conditions that were there weather-wise for that weekend. So I've no doubt that Croke Park will hold up with all that traffic, but it makes for a very, very busy weekend for them. But that's the exact reason why they're in that slot. And as Colin mentioned, GA Plus then knew they were going to get a Saturday afternoon game because they had first pick. And then their second pick, I'm assuming they decided they wanted another game on the Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I think everyone expected that we would have Kerry and Dublin coming through comfortably to be in the round three as they are. But I suspect both Donegal and Armagh, Colm, must be absolutely gobsmacked as to how they have ended up there. Donegal, I'm sure, could not have seen any circumstances in which they would lose at home to Cork. And similarly for Armagh to lose in literally the last play of the game against Louth yesterday. Extraordinary that they're now in round three.
Really extraordinary that Armagh were seconds away from putting their feet up that cherished weekend off before the All-Ireland quarterfinals. Short trip back up the road from Inniskeen, literally 10 minutes for some of them. And now they find themselves setting off on Friday lunchtime, maybe even before that, to get down to Kerry to prepare for this fixture, which overall really discommodes Armagh's, the broader All-Ireland assault. And obviously it's Kerry they're missing, it's Kerry they're playing. So any thoughts beyond this weekend just can't exist. This is it for them now. So from where they were, but they will rally around. They have responded to adversity before, Matt, obviously, after some of their recent traumatic Ulster final defeats on penalties and extra time and everything, and they've been able to respond and obviously win an All-Ireland title out of that in 2004. The difference is they had a couple of weeks to rebound after that. This time they have 6 days and really five to get going on the road to Kerry. So very difficult. Hit with a late goal within seconds. Obviously, Sam Mulroy dropped through keepers Ethan Rafferty's hands. And similarly, Donegal were hit with two late two-pointers. They just didn't see that coming. I know there was Cork people wondering, is this fixture really worth it to chase after? Should we maybe dilute the team, accept that we'll be in round three, and try and pitch towards something there? They pulled off an extraordinary result. Nobody could have seen that coming. But this is a really settled Cork team. A lot of the players are very familiar with their positions. They've been around for a while. They were without Colm O'Callaghan. But, you know, Stephen Sherlock is back and he brings that two-point threat. And it's a really, really serious threat. And you look at Luke Fahey and Tommy Walsh's two-pointers. They just bring that threat from distance. And Donegal eased off, and there have to be concerns now about Donegal. There was certain talk around that they weren't really focused for the Ulster quarterfinal, that they lost it down in Letterkenny back in April. Don't think that's the case now. Obviously, there are elements of the team that just aren't holding up as well as they may be expected. I still think, having been at the Dublin game and looked at Dublin yesterday, I still think that's Donegal's game to go and win and advance to the All-Ireland quarterfinal.
But the thing is, though, how much energy they'll have to take to do it before they play the following weekend of the quarterfinals, not getting the weekend off. Will O'Callaghan, though, what about the so-called controversy about the shot clock and the hooter in the Armagh-Louth game?
So this came up quite a bit in the Sunday game last night. It was a lengthy piece, I think, that ended up on social media afterwards as well. So there was a clock in the corner. It was basically the goals that were being defended by Louth in the second half. So it was down the other end to where all the action happened, where the ball ended up going into the net from Mulroy's shot. But there was a clock available at the stadium. I didn't hear a hooter, but I saw some fans saying that they had heard something. So obviously this became a piece that should be standardised across all grounds. I would have sympathy with that position in that it really should be the case, that if a hooter and a countdown clock are required, they should be very much available in every venue, even if it's a case of Inneskeena somewhere that's standing in. But it was wrong, the claim that was made in the Sunday game last night, that there was no countdown clock, because there was.
Okay, the hooter thing is interesting. Is the hooter so distinctive that it couldn't be impersonated by somebody, say, in the crowd deciding to actually have a homemade hooter that they could set off?
Look at what you're encouraging now, man.
I'm not encouraging it. I'm just asking a question.
Wait until the last kick's about to happen. And
you're after putting a thought into a lot of people's
yes,
heads.
You're
mad. A lot of conspiracy theories. I actually never thought of it that way. That's a devious mind.
It should be pointed out, though, that Mulroy's shot happened nearly 2 seconds before the hooter was due to go off. So the TV graphic, I think the black had gone red in the corner on RTE, but as is important, the actual clock that's being used by the officials is the one that matters, not the graphics. So I saw some people screenshotting and going, by the time it leaves his foot, he delayed too long with the shimmy. It was actually well inside time when he kicked.
Okay, just a couple of the other things. How disappointing, Colm, is it for Roscommon, having, you know, won the Connacht title? Did they sort of give it up after that to an extent, to have gone down so by, what was it, 9 points to Monaghan?
Well, they were very, very close to beating Tyrone in their first game. They had got back level and they lost the last kickout. Niall Morgan's kickout to Kilpatrick was right on the money, and they engineered that late free through Owen McElhone.
Niall Morgan's so having a real thing with last minute kicks, isn't he?
Isn't he just? And he referenced this afterwards. He had missed one. That was a difficult, more difficult kick, but he had missed one in Armagh in the Ulster preliminary round. So he really nailed his two kicks at the end of that game yesterday. But Roscommon were that close. And even at half-time against Monaghan, they were turning around to play with the wind and they brought nothing. And players like Dara Heenan, who had scored a goal in every game, every championship game up to that, just could never really fire. Even Diarmaid Murtagh, their captain and their leader very much up front, just couldn't get going. And it was a flat performance, one that will leave them very disappointed, obviously. But they still have a Connacht title. But I think it'll dilute it in some way for them. That they will be disappointed that they haven't followed on, and they're still chasing that Croke Park victory for the first time since 1980. And they just haven't been able to back up their Connacht championship wins.
All right, Colm Keyes, GA correspondent of the Irish Independent. Thank you.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.